The Ways and Means Committee meeting to order this May 12, 2020, 5 o'clock. Can you take attendance, please, Natalie?
Archer.
Here.
Ronk.
Present.
Bartels.
Here.
Taveras. Haynes.
Here.
Mayo. She was here. She's sort of there. And Walter.
Here.
Mayo's window's there.
She is here. I thought I saw her earlier.
There's Mayo.
There she is. Okay, welcome everyone. We'll call the meeting to order, approve the minutes. I'll take a motion to approve the minutes of April 23rd.
Ronk moves it.
Second?
Walter, second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Since we had the joint meeting yesterday and we've got some follow-up, I'd like to take a motion to block resolution 129 to 143.
So moved.
Second?
Bartels.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Legislator, oh, you're just saying hi. Okay. I'd now like to take a motion to postpone this.
So moved.
Second?
Second, Bartels.
Thank you. So moved. All right. On the postponement, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Off. Right. Come on.
I'm sorry? Oh. Okay.
No, it's...
That's okay.
Dog digging the couch.
Okay, let's go to resolution 173, confirming the appointment of Sanjay Ahmed as the director of the Department of Transportation for Ulster County.
I'll move it.
Second?
Bartels.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. Resolution 174, approving the execution of a contract for the Offset House doing business as Catamount Color for the period of May 1, 2020 through December 31st, 2020 for printing and distribution of the 2020-21 Ulster County Travel Guide.
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second it, Bartels.
Okay. Legislator Ronk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've gotten information from Natalie earlier today, additional information that we'd asked for on this resolution at the chair's meeting. And I would just like to have a discussion. I think, Mark, you'll want to weigh in on this as to how this got this far in the process before it came to us. Now, I'm always a big supporter of the tourism guide, and I, you know, would imagine I would support it this time. I have concern that, you know, the information that we were provided pretty much says that if we don't approve this contract, we've already expended all but something around $2,000 of the, or we're at least on the hook for all but $2,000 of this contract. And I feel strongly, as much as I support the tourism guide, that it almost seems like a violation of the charter that it's gotten this far in the process before it comes to us. I don't know if anybody else has anything to say about that, or if, Mark, you want to jump in there. I don't know.
Okay, before we do, Legislator Bartels and then Walter.
Well, I don't know if Mark wanted to answer that, but I had that same concern, and then I have several other concerns and questions based on information that was provided. So I don't know if Mark wants to answer that first, because that was on my list of questions. I was also concerned about that.
We do have Deputy Kenny Executive Wright on the line here, I see, and also...
Oh, yes, I see her now.
Director of Tourism, Rick Remschneider. Happy to defer to them with any questions.
This is Evelyn. You know, this may be because I'm new to this process and all of this, and this work has been going on during the months that I've been getting up to speed here. So I'm going to have to ask Rick about how what was done this year compares to how this process has worked in years past.
Yeah, I can answer that. First of all, for the time in an effort to save Ulster County some money. We separated out the contracts for the travel guide. Normally it's one travel guide is produced by one company and it's printed by one company. And so everything comes in with one resolution. What we did this year, we broke it out. We had the contract that dealt with the production of the travel guide, which we started back in December, which was less than $50,000. We moved forward with that company after the contract was executed.
Excuse me, Rick.
Yep.
If you could, just could you name the companies as you're going through this?
Yep.
If you split it out, it would be helpful for us to know.
Sure. The company that did the design of the travel guide was Lure Creative. And the company that is doing the printing is Catamount Color. The reason that the resolution is coming to the legislature at this time was because it was held up by about 3 months in contract management. And I was told that it needed to get the approval of the county executive's office before we could move forward with it. So that's where it sat for 2 to 3 months. Finally, the county executive agreed through Evelyn, said they wanted to move forward with the travel guide, and that's why the resolution and the contract is coming to the legislature at this time. Normally, it would have already been through, late last year or early this year.
Well, and I think I would just add to that it was approved by our office in February, and then we were immediately in the COVID emergency, and then we took a second look at all the contracts that hadn't moved their way through the process. So I think it got held up and released, and then held up again and then released again. So I think that was the reason for that delay.
That's correct.
Sorry, the second review was in March.
Yeah, I approved it in late February, and then I think in March it got caught up in the more general putting a COVID hold on all non-essential contracts, and then we just completed a round of review of across all departments, those contracts that we had been holding.
Okay. Legislator Walter?
Thank you. So I was just curious, especially since we are in this circumstance where we have to be trimming things as much as possible, what efforts did you go through to trim this amount? So for example, I was thinking how we are losing at least, the percentage quarter or of our travel tourism time of the year, as you considered instead of 100,000, making it 50,000, instead of doing the inserts, maybe skipping the inserts. Like, have you put thought into ways to still go forward with this, but at a reduced cost?
Last year, we did reduce it by 20,000. In the past years, we've done a travel guide, which is going back about 12 years during my tenure. We've done as many as 120,000. We did cut that to 100,000 this year. Keep in mind, this decision was made when we went through the RFP process way back in August, September of 2019. So there was no reason to think that we wouldn't want to have a minimum 100,000, because we've distributed this travel guide not only through three-way stops. We also distribute it in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, the New York City area. So basically every year, and it's a 12-month guide running from normally Memorial Day to the following, for 1 year, we've never have any guides left over. So we decided to cut some of the local distribution this year. When I mean local, I don't mean a county. I mean some of the contiguous counties. But we did cut it 20,000 this year, long story short.
Let me clarify. My question is, since the COVID pandemic in March, have you explored the concept of cutting down, recognizing that we've lost many months of tourism and we don't know when we'll be able to be back up at tourism? Have you explored since March the concept of reducing the cost by reducing how many you made and the quality or inserts or anything like that in response to COVID?
There's, to be honest with you, it's the production cost and getting the guide on the presses. There's not going to be that much of a difference between 100,000 and let's say 70,000, 50,000. There'd be some savings, but I have to keep in mind that this is basically our main promotional tool this year, in addition to our website. Because, and I understand why it was done, 10% was cut out of, is going to be cut out of our budget, which is $115,000, and the bulk of that is for advertising. So this is something that is needed out there. So that's why we decided to keep it that level. And as per the contract with agreement with our properties, back when we started doing the ad sales in January, they were expecting, for what they're paying for, they were expecting 100,000 guides to be distributed. That's the money they were paying. That's why they signed up. If we would have said we're only doing 40, 50, 60,000, I don't think we would have got the ad sales that we got, which was over $35,000.
Lynn, you're muted.
Sorry. Legislator Haynes, Bartels, then Ronk.
Yeah, I'd like to first start by saying I think it's always, you do a great job with the guide, and it's a vital aspect to our tourism in our area. However, this guide hasn't currently gone to print yet, correct? Because I do believe that printing is non-essential right now, unless it supports essential businesses or essential services. So technically, this actually hasn't gone to print yet. Is that correct? Is this just a quote?
No. To get the, when we move forward with our, had the agreement with our production company, one of the only way that we can get the guide out on time is to get the map printed in advance. So we've already had the map printed, which is the pullout map in the middle of our guide. So we have done we've done all the design and the production work. The map has been printed. The only thing that hasn't been printed itself is the rest of the guide. We wouldn't have, and this is something, Heidi, we've done, I just say we do it to here, you know, we do it the same way every year, but we've done it this way for the past 12 years. And if we waited to do it all at once, it's like a 3-month process. We wouldn't get the guide out.
Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to the concern about going into production before you have an approved contract from the legislature. But I have a couple other questions about the comparison of the if completed and if not completed. First of all, you have on both of them, you have the CTM media distribution, Getaways on display distribution, and Pennsylvania on display distribution. My first question is, why would we still have to pay for distribution if we don't print the guide?
That sounds like a question for Evelyn.
Well, this came from Rick. I mean, this document, the document that compares the two came from Rick, but anyone can answer it. I just don't know why we would have to pay to distribute something that we didn't print. So it would, because it counts as, you have it listed as requiring to pay if it's not completed.
Oh, I'm just going to venture a guess, since I don't hear anybody else talking, and say that that's because those contracts are under $10,000 and have already been executed by the executive's office.
That's the answer?
Rick, are you still on the line?
Yes.
Yeah, I would prefer to hear it from the folks that are doing the work. Thanks.
Rick, are you still on the line?
Yep, I'm here.
That's correct, right? That's my understanding. That some of those distribution contracts have already been executed.
Correct.
Can I just confirm, to my knowledge, all of our contracts have out. So even if we've executed a contract, we could terminate the contract and get the money back for lack of distribution if we don't print, correct?
I couldn't answer that question. It's a signed contract. I'd have to defer to the county attorney's office.
But I thought in all of our contracts, we have a 30-day out.
We have more than
60 day out, I think.
If it's on a typical template, the county template contract, it would have the out for convenience.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
60 days.
So if that's the case, then, I mean, if they don't provide the service and we terminate the contract, that those monies would be savings, those three distributions that have been executed in advance. And then the other question, if I may, is on the one place you have advertising revenue returned to properties at $26,250. And if completed, you have an ad revenue credit of $8,750. I just want to confirm my understanding that $26,250 is actually revenue that would be going to the printing company, not to us, because they get 75% of the ad revenue. Is that correct?
Not the printing company.
The design company?
The Lure Creative, who does the production of the guide, unlike in years past, and again, this was on a RFP bid process, that the only revenue they're getting is on 75% of ad sales, which is a pretty good deal for the county because that's only, as it turns out, the total there, 26,000 and change. And the rest of that advertised, 25% goes to the county.
But so the 26,000 is basically the fee for the design? Or did we pay on top of that?
No, that's for the design and the ad sales. Lure Creative, they did the design and the ad sales. If we didn't move forward with the guide, they would get that money, and we would have to return the revenue, the ads sales for the properties that invested in the guide.
So I'm sorry, but can I get clarification then? What was the value of the Lure Creative contract? I assume it's under 50,000 since it didn't come to us, but what was the value of that without this ad revenue? What did the county pay Lure Creative?
Zero. The county is not paying Lure Creative anything. They are working strictly on commission, ad commission.
Okay.
However, if the guide isn't produced and the ads are not actually printed, then we have to reimburse the properties. Lure has already been paid.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I do have another question, but if someone else wants to go first, you can come back to me. I don't want to take
it. Did anyone else have any other questions?
I mean, I did, but you know, I'm fine with Tracy continuing, depending on what Dave thinks.
Chairman, I'm just wondering, I'd like to know right at this point, if we decide we're not going to print this guide, what are we saving? And then if we do print the guide, what is it actually costing us? Or in other words, I mean, it seems like we're all over the place on this one. I just need to know the numbers. What are the actual numbers? What does it cost? If we don't print this guide, what happens? What do we save? What do we lose?
Well, and if I may, I'd like to add one thing onto that. It's even pushing the guide out where you don't have to return potentially the ads and that they become part of a book for 2021, knowing that 2020 we are already challenged and we're not even sure what's going to be open, what's not. So if you take into account that if we push it out instead of returning the money, is that even feasible? Rick?
I'm not sure Rick, I understand the question. I got a couple different questions. Let me try to answer Chairman Dawson's question. Depending on the outcome of some of the distribution contracts that Tracy mentioned, CTM Media and the two others, smaller contracts, that would be a savings if we do those of a little under 15,000. Okay, but so if you took those out, the difference between printing 100,000 and distributing 100,000 guides would be roughly a savings, if the county didn't do it, of 10 to 15,000. The basic cost when the guide to be done is $66,000 for the printing of the guide, and then a ballpark of 15,000 in distribution. So if you didn't do the guide, which is 100,000 copies, which we distributed all over to promote our properties, and you were able to get out of the distribution contracts, the county would be saving roughly 12 to 15,000.
But then what have you already spent? In other words, what has already been allocated in money, county money already?
$34,500.
How much?
According to the spreadsheet that Rick sent us, if we terminate the contract now, we would still have to pay $34,467 to Catamount Color for the printing they've already done.
Plus the reimburse the property,
correct,
which is another $26,000.
Correct.
So over $60,000.
So basically, we'll save $12,000 and lose the other one and have no advertisement whatsoever.
And have no guide.
Correct.
Have no guide whatsoever. So I mean, I don't know what you want to, you know, why we keep on beating this to death.
Well, Legislator Bartels.
If you want to let Legislator Ronk go first, because he let me finish before.
We're probably going to say the same thing. That's my, you know, that's my estimation, or, you know, at least some point we would say the same thing. You know, I understand your point, Dave, and I'm not here to say let's not print the guide. I'm likely to vote in favor of this resolution, but I have concern about the county executive's office handling of this contract, because it's obvious that significant amounts of money were encumbered under this contract before it came to us, which is obvious violation of the charter. And I have concern, in years past, this contract has come to us much earlier in the process. So we're approving it before we're already tied to $34,000 worth of county spending, as well as, you know, the, you know, money that we would have to reimburse these properties if we decided not to do it. What essentially has been done to us, even if unintentionally, is we've been painted into a corner where now we have to vote for this, otherwise we're going to have to pay almost as much money and have no travel guide. My point is less about whether or not we should do the travel guide and more about the process that has led us to a point where our back's up against a wall where we have to make a decision whether we want to or not.
Let me speak to that, if you don't mind. I certainly understand your concerns and the frustration there. And I think a lot of that is probably on me in terms of my inexperience of this process and not knowing what I needed to stay on top of. You know, when these contracts were flagged for me in February by the county attorney's office, Rick and I went through them and I approved all of them. And I don't think I knew that A, they had been sitting there for a while, and that B, they didn't move once I did approve them. And I also did not know, and this is on me, that Catamount was doing work on it already. So I think between those things, it was a surprise to me when they came back again on another spreadsheet for our approval this month. But I think it was never in our minds that there was going to be any rethinking of the plan to do the guide. I mean, the guide is part of what the tourism department does every year. It's in the budget. They're just going through their procedures the way they do. And I don't think any of us ever thought there's going to be a point where we're going to rethink all of this. So I think that's probably why Rick continued with everything that he was doing while, unbeknownst to me, the contracts were sitting held up someplace.
Okay.
So I want to address your concerns about cost cutting, because we have instructed all the departments to find the places in their budgets to make those cuts, and Rick has identified them as being in the rest of his advertising budget. And I think we can achieve the objective of saving expenditures through the process that we went through of prioritizing with every department where the best places to make cuts from their budgets were.
Lynn, if I could just follow up on that before we move on.
I want to give Mary Beth, who has not had a chance to speak, an opportunity, and then...
Okay.
Then Tracy and you, Ken. Mary Beth?
Does Ken want to finish his thought? I'm okay with it.
No, it's fine. It's a follow-up, but it's fine. You go ahead, Mary Beth.
Okay. I don't think anybody's trying to do anything right now. I just think we have something in front of us that if we can save money, I think we need to save money. I'm all about tourism, but who's looking at a travel guide? Who's traveling? It's a very sad state of affairs right now. And if $12,000 can be saved because we don't print a book that nobody may pick up this year, I'm okay with that. I don't love it, I don't like it, but it is the fact right now. I mean, we're almost in June. I mean, tell me who's I'm the first one. I'm going to Florida as soon as I can. But then there's, then you got to quarantine yourself. And this is going on and on, months after months. So by the time this is all settled in people's heads, we're going to be in December, it'll be Christmas time. Nobody's going to look at the guy. If we somehow can figure this out more towards the end of the year and put $10,000, $5,000 somewhere else right now where it's really needed, I think it's just something we should just take a minute and do. I don't know what else to say, except it is a fact right now that nobody's looking to travel.
Legislator Bartels?
Thank you. And I was going to speak to some of what Legislator Mayo touched on as well. I think that we really should be looking not just to save the $12,000 to $15,000 now, but to push the other monies won't be a total loss. They could possibly be pushed off to a printing for next year. We could negotiate. Yes, we might lose some advertisers, but it'll be a more relevant guide. I'm really also concerned, like Legislator Mayo said, that the idea that we're going to be placing travel guides in Pennsylvania and out of state and encouraging tourism when right now that's pretty much against the directive from the state. I don't know if everyone had a chance to look at the letter that we received copy of from the wineries. I thought it was really interesting and inventive, the wineries talking about sort of reinventing themselves to be tourism for locals. And that's, I think a lot of our local businesses, and I've seen it in my own community, there's this almost a disconnect between wanting to start up again, but also being worried about people coming in from the outside, because we're still doing this physical distancing, and that's going to extend in some form for at least a portion of the foreseeable future, and hopefully there won't be a second significant wave, but it's something we have to be prepared for. So I think on the one hand, we're being a little tone deaf talking about a tourism guide as if everything's just going to go on as normal and let's get it out in June. I would be much more comfortable negotiating with the printing company. If the maps already made, then put the maps in boxes. And if the paper's already been ordered, we pay for the paper, we put the paper to the side, and we do the printing for the next calendar year, making whatever adjustments to the design that we have to. I think that's just much more prudent. So I don't know if that's, I feel like I'm following on what Legislator Mayo said, but I agree with the sentiment.
Okay. Legislative Walter, then Ronk.
Yeah, so my feeling is that ultimately I'm very supportive of this guide in general, because I think for many of our businesses, this is an affordable way for them to promote themselves. And I do want this guide to exist, but I think that there were the proposal of either delaying when this guide happens, which is almost just logical if we go back to what Legislator Haynes said, they probably can't start printing yet because it's not allowed. So I think that either I would love to see the feasibility of postponing this a few months or go back to what I said. I don't actually accept carte blanche that if, since we will lose a number of months, that there would be a reduction because you'd be able to make less, so you'd have less paper ordered, the distributors could be reduced. So I do think that there is a feasible way to also reduce the cost of this, and I would love to see more effort into how to reduce the cost of this, recognizing that then it probably would not come out until something more like September or October. So I think those two models are, I would like to understand how feasible they would really be, and I don't know if you can answer it. I don't think you can answer it right now, but it, you know, I think that those numbers should be tallied, and we need to know about that.
Okay, Legislator Ronk, then Chairman Donaldson. Ken, you're on mute.
Thanks. I was looking at my other computer and not looking at this computer, which is a problem. You know, these Zoom meetings can be a little, you know, disorienting when you need, you know, the information on one screen and the video on the other. I have serious concern about how this happened, but I also think that we need to, you know, I also think that we need to move forward on this. And, you know, I think that fixing the process is important, which is why I brought up the issues that I brought up. But I think that we want to be in a position, you know, tourism is our number one industry in Ulster County. And the idea that we would be unprepared for when it's time to start inviting guests back to Ulster County, I think is a poor way to go, personally. I think that we should move forward with this as is. I don't agree that saving I don't agree that saving $12,000 and not having a travel guide is useful. I don't think, because this isn't just a 2020 travel guide, it goes into the winter of 2021 and we have a significant amount of winter tourism. You know, I have a copy of the contract here that was executed by the director of purchasing on, you know, says May 5th of 2020. You know, we have, you know, tourism and Catamount executing it, you know, in March. I think that we've identified an issue here, but I don't think that postponing it or, you know, going back and seeing if we can push it out. You know, there are certain things that are already involved in the printing that have already been printed that might not be good if we put it off until next year. And by next year, we'll need another travel guide anyway. I just, again, sometimes process matters more than the result. But here, I don't think that the result should be that we put ourselves in a position where we're not ready to invite guests back and show them around with our, you know, what, half a billion dollar tourism economy. We've got businesses that are going to rely on this. We've got resorts that are going to rely on this. And we've got, you know, our county revenues that are going to rely on this.
Chairman Donaldson?
Yeah, I do think I agree with Ken a certain amount that I believe that we need to move forward with this. It's something that has to be done. And I think the only thing my concern would be is that I really, what was said before, that we're not going to distribute as many locally as we normally do, and you're actually going out. I think you may want to reconsider the local distribution, because I have a feeling once things start to break, I think somebody, I think Tracy pointed out that some of the people are looking at trying to attract local people coming in. So when they have, you know, the local people see the guide, I know, you know, many people, in other words, they'll look at a guide and they're, and that's something that they'll say, oh yeah, I think I'll go to that winery or something of that nature once things start to break. You know, I know people want to travel and get away, but I think they may also decide that, you know, until they feel more comfortable, they may try to do more staycations type of stuff and hang out a little more at home. So we might want to consider that distribution, but I think there's greater minds than mine that can come up with that. Maybe somebody take a look at that. That may be something, but I agree with Ken. It's something we're going to say, we saved $12,000. That's nice. But we just threw away 40 or 50 on contracts already, and not having a guide. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think we need the guide.
Legislator Bartels.
It's a question for Rick. Did you explore with Catamount? I know that you said that you spoke with the heads of the Lodging Coalition, but did you explore with Catamount what a delay, a 6-month delay, or an alternative printing schedule would mean? Would they be able to hold the paper, et cetera, that kind of issue?
I didn't talk to them about that, Tracy. I'm sure that if the alternative is killing the guide or delaying it, I think that would be a more palatable way to go, to hold, like Legislator Walters is saying, about holding it possibly a couple months. Let me just say one thing. In the last 3 weeks, we've got 50 travel guide requests a week. People are starting, the pause is ending May 15th. People are, and believe it or not, people are starting to think about vacations now. And, you know, I don't think in this time where the tourism and hospitality industry and all the people that are facing really rough times, they've lost a lot of money. I don't think this is the time to pull the rug out from under them and not support them. Plus, we have... somebody like, and we did talk to, I did talk to the Lodging Coalition and the major players from Mohonk, the Emerson, Buttermilk, Pine Ridge, Rocking Horse. I asked them all if they would rather get their money, their advertising revenue back, or go forward with the guide. They all said they would rather have the guide out. But the people that really benefit this, we have on nearly 900 listings in that guide. Some of the places like the B&Bs and small, you know, antiques stores and things of that nature, they don't have any money to advertise. They rely on the guide. And if we didn't do the guide, I can tell you that I did a survey through statewide organization called NISTIA. And right now there's 55 counties, and they got responses from 36 counties, and 34 of them are continuing with the travel guide this year. So that's almost 95%. If we didn't have a guide on the stands or on the throughway and wherever we have it, we would certainly be at a competitive disadvantage, because I can tell you right now, Dutchess County, Orange, Sullivan, all the other counties in the Hudson Valley region, the Catskills, they all have current guides. Ours basically has a shelf life of 1 year. So June 1, the guide that we have out now would not be current with the information. And people are making decisions. And that's, I think that, there's a lot of things that they're not going to be open right now. But this is a fast-moving industry. And I know some of our major resorts and hotels are thinking about hopeful to be open July, August at the latest. We already have fishing, golf courses, campgrounds, parks, all that, all those places are available for the public. And that's some of the information we have in the guide. So if it came down to delaying it a couple months and rather than doing the guide at all, certainly would consider that. But no, I have not discussed that with the printer yet.
Legislator Bartels.
Can I just ask a follow on? So the other question is just how relevant the information in this current guide is in this COVID environment. Do you have festivals listed, et cetera? And have you talked to the design company about changing it to adjust for the current situation?
Yes, we have. I mean, just the other day, the Rosendale Street Festival announced they're not going to have it this year, so we took that out of the guide. The longer we wait, the less relevant the guide would be. But, you know, we're keeping up to date on what events are being canceled. That's just a small part of our guide, though. That's like 4 pages out of 66 pages. So, you know, before we go to print with it, as we will certainly have the most current information in there.
Are you going to address the COVID situation in it or no?
Yes, we put in there, we have addressed the COVID situation. We've also put an advisory by the top events and the events that please check, you know, about possible cancellations on our website or on the websites of the events. So people don't get the latest information then if something is postponed or canceled.
Okay, Legislator Walter and then Ronk.
Yeah, so I just thought of a question, so I'll add that, but then I'll go to my original one. It's just, have you calculated, I mean, is there some revenue that has to be returned for either events that couldn't possibly happen or are going to be canceled? And, you know, I'm just curious to know if any of these people who have advertised have actually asked for changes or returns. And then the other question was, and I don't know if Mark, you could possibly answer, but I'm just curious, do we have any sense of what month we think tourism, conservatively, might actually be able to start happening in Ulster County?
I can answer the question about, we had one advertiser asked to pull out. Of course, we told them they could. It was actually a very small ad. But most of the advertisers are hanging with us because, you know, a lot of them are the large, you know, like Stewart International Airport, you know, the larger hotels I mentioned and everything. As far as when the tourism season is going to start, I'm on a conference call every week with hospitality and tourism experts, Ross Levi, who heads up I Love New York's promotional arm. And as Governor Cuomo says in every one of his daily press briefings, we don't know, okay? I can't give you a set date. I'm hopeful that it will be, they're opening the phases in 2-week increments. Right now, Ulster County, and Mark could probably talk about this better than I can.
Yeah, if you let me jump in here, Rick. So we're not in the initial, we're not there yet. Everybody can see by the governor's daily briefings that we meet 5 of the 7 criteria, but we believe we're close. We got, you know, word today that it's not like if we miss this, the 15th or whatever, it's not like we have to wait a full 2-week period to open. It's not, you know, through the like, we don't have to wait a whole phase. Whenever we're ready as a region. And so, you know, it could be as early as 6 to 8 weeks before hotels and accommodations, and then phase 4 is when some of these places would be able to open their pools and other things. But, you know, mid-July we could start to see, for one thing, hotels and accommodations have always been essential to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And so they're open, many of them. Mohonk isn't. You know, Rocking Horse Ranch just recently reopened, I believe. They're what actually attracts a lot of people to those resorts aren't able to be open, but the hotels and accommodations, many of the people who have advertised have been open the whole time. The one thing I would say about delaying this until the 2021 season is I do think that we would owe people their advertising back, because they advertise for a 2020 travel guide, not a 2021 travel guide. And so I think it would be the right thing to give that revenue back if we were to delay it 5-6 months.
Legislator Ronk?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, it's obvious that there have been some mistakes in the process here, but as Mark has said and Rick has said, you know, I think that we should be getting ourselves prepared to, you know, reopen our economy here. And I think that this is one step. And I think that, you know, manufacturing is in phase one of reopening. So, you know, I think that we should move forward on this. And I think that the executive's office should, you know, take a look at the processes that got us to this point with this contract and work to make sure it doesn't happen again.
I say something to that, Lynn, real quick?
Yeah.
You mind? So Ken did send me the copy that he was talking about that's executed, and I definitely am going to have some calls in to the purchasing department to find out how that happened, why this contract was executed prior to legislative approval. That should not happen. So that I will be happy to follow up with you all and give you an answer on. So that part of the process was absolutely broken and will be looked into.
Legislator Mayo.
Thank you. I wanted to say thank you to everybody for putting their input in. Rick, thank you for, you know, helping me along with the business part of it. I will vote yes on this, but I also just want to make a point that I believe we're in the 9th week now, and this is devastating to some people out there. And saying that $12,000 is not a lot of money, it's going to be $1 million sounding number down the road. And there's going to be tough choices to make, and saving $10,000 here and $5,000 there is what we're going to have to do down the road. I just want to make that point clear. Thank you.
Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. And I wanted to ask Mark, when you're looking into the process issue, if I could flag another thing, the idea that a contract that's under $50,000, specifically the design or creative contract, but is inextricably linked to another contract, is an issue. I think, you know, it's truly not a standalone contract if we have to refund the money if another contract doesn't go through. And so that's not something that we necessarily would know about on our end, but I think that also, in good faith, has to be included in something like the Catamount contract, or included as an over $50,000 contract in the future.
And I'll just say that I think, yeah, I agree with you, and I think this was an unintended consequence of, I think Rick and I started this process back when I was the purchasing director considering separating out these contracts, because it is saving the county a considerable amount of money to have it done that way. The problem is, if we execute the earlier contract prior to this, I get what you're saying. Although we would always have to execute a design for the most part before publication, but we can look at it and we can see that process and make sure that it's something that we bring to your all's attention, or at least that we wait on it and just let you know that it's coming.
Okay, anybody else have any other comments? I guess one comment that I would have is that we really need to be looking at everything, and I know that that's happening on your side. Well, I would hope so, but you know, these kinds of things, it does set a tone in the community. We are going to have people that are really impacted with regards to the COVID and our residents, etc. And at the end of the day, if we're going to be increasing taxes, et cetera, it's not going to be something everybody's going to feel comfortable about. So all I would ask is that if we're going to work together on this, we really need to have a discipline. And I've said this before, and I'm asking again, you guys went through 10% cut. We've asked to understand exactly what the 10% is. And, you know, so we have a sense of where you're holding the line. And Rick, you made a comment at the last meeting that you're not doing the advertising now, but should things open up, you would redo it. Well, not if that 10% is your 10%, and you said most of it is advertising. So there is some mixed messages here, and I would hope that we get those messages aligned, and if we are working together on this to save every penny we can, we're gonna have to be disciplined even about these contracts that don't seem like much, because they do send a message to the greater public population of our county. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I mean, just to, to almost as a counterpoint to what you just said, a lot of the tourism budget is either grant funding or is tied to I Love New York funding or matching funds. So, you know, I understand your point about, you know, we definitely need to understand. But I think that we also need to understand that we don't want him cutting funding that's going to end up cutting, you know, funding that we get from New York State or others, you know, in furtherance of the tourism economy in Ulster County. So I felt like that point needed to be made.
And I'll just follow up with one more, and that is the governor said he is going to be looking at very critical times throughout this year of where he's cutting. And while we may have had funding in the past, that doesn't mean we have funding in the future. And with that, I'll close. All in favor of this resolution?
Aye.
Opposed? So we have Archer, Gavaris, Walter, opposed. Is that correct? Anyone else?
No, I'm in favor.
Legislator Gavaris says he's not opposed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not opposed. I'm in favor.
You're in favor. So is it Walter and Archer is opposed? Okay, thank you.
Just to clarify, I'm not opposed of this. I would like this to happen. I just have this, I do believe this company in this time would consider reducing the costs, and there are ways to cut the cost for it. I just want to make that clear. I want this to happen. I just think it could be less. Everybody's working together these days.
I agree. I mean, the tourism isn't a big part of our revenue here, but so at this time...
I thought we voted on it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay, you two. Resolution 175, approving the execution of a contract amendment entered into the county with H&H Construction and Consulting. I'll take a motion to move it.
Rock moves it.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? Mark, you and I had a conversation earlier with regards to a better understanding of the contract. When I look back, the only changes I see for Amendment 1 and 2 is just a reference to some procedures established by FEMA for cleaning. Is that correct?
I believe so, and I believe the cost increase is the not to exceed amount. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe that is part of it. You had asked the question earlier about the mold inspection, and it is an as needed. We have not used that portion of the amendment or the contract yet, so we have not had them do a mold inspection.
Okay, Legislator Bartels.
So yeah, it's an increase to the number, and this takes us to May 30th. I'm assuming that we're gonna, and it's roughly looks like $78,000 a month if it stays at this $800 per day at the one site and $6,700 per week at the other site. So, are we to expect additional amendments next month?
Potentially, I know talking to Public Works and purchasing, because we're, you know, trying to get FEMA reimbursement on this, they wanted to do more, you know, continued throughout the process due diligence. So I think they were going to go out to bid and get or get further quotes again. I think as we spoke in maybe the committee chairs or the last public works, I mean, we did get various quotes on this when this contract started, but I think that they're going to go back out and do a bidding process prior to this. So you'll either see another amendment or a separate contract.
Lynn, I just want to say, if I could, I'm leaving the meeting. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for coming, Rick. Appreciate it.
Nice talking with you all.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night. Legislator Bartels?
I just wanted, when they go back out to bid, would they consider, is there the potential to split the contract if you get numbers back that are higher for the interior buildings and lower for the exterior or some combination thereof?
Yeah, we could do that. Okay. We'd have to do that in the bid, but we'd have to state that we're going to separate it.
Okay.
But we
Mark,
can look at that.
Just for my edification, the original contract, which was done on March 25th, Schedule B outlined the cost of all the services. So what I'm a little confused about, if in fact the date never really changed, because that was part of the original contract, the contract, the way it's written originally, would have cost us $150 and change. So I'm a little confused about why there was another amendment. Is it because at some point you thought you weren't going to use it? So you only
are you talking about the second and the third amendment? Again, increasing
the first and the second.
The first contract, I think, was established for 40 something thousand because we needed to get it up and going quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We then amended it to add another month. I think we added time and we increased the not to exceed amount. And now we've exceeded the portion that we can do that. Under the executive's office, we need to bring it to you all for approval, which is why there's the additional amendment and why it's here.
Yeah, well, I guess my question, though, is that the only change in the first amendment was the FEMA requirements. The dates have been the same from the original contract. So has the numbers on Schedule B, the cost breakdown. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, the timing never changed. It was always from March 30th through May 30th.
But the not to exceed contract, the amount of the contract changed.
But if you played it out based on your outline in the scope in Schedule A, you were going to pay this for that period of time, and that would have been $152,000 rounding. So I just don't understand. I'm a little confused on the amendment side. That's all.
I gotcha. But we have to stay within both the term and the not to exceed amount. So I get what you're saying, but I think the reason that again, they added in the second. So we had the contract for 49. We can increase it by another 40 whatever and do that through the executive's office. We couldn't do more than that, and without bringing it here, timing wise we needed to continue the contract, so now we're bringing it to you.
Okay. Any other questions on the resolution? All in favor? Opposed? So moved. Okay. Sorry, I lost my place. Give me a second. Okay. Resolution 176, amending the 2020 budget. This resolution, upon receipt of notification from New York State Office of Addiction Services and Support, is increasing funding for minimum wage and workforce cost of living adjustment.
Moved by Ron.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Resolution 181, authorizing additional funding for Capital Project 528 Veterans Cemetery to meet the environmental and permitting requirements.
Moved by Ronk.
Second.
Seconded.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 184, requesting the chair of the Ulster County Legislature apply for a Department of Homeland Security grant for the Port Security Grant Program, FEMA. Sheriff's
Move
Office.
My wrong.
Move. So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 185, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a claim for payment and any additional documents necessary to secure payment from New York State.
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 186, the authorization, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned properties to the original owners.
So moved by Rock.
Seconded by Donaldson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Madam Chair, I move we block 187 through 190. They're all short-term rental agreements.
On the block. Seconded.
Oh, I'll second that.
All in favor of the block?
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay. Resolution 191, establishing a policy for funding non-county organizations.
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay, second.
I have not read through it.
I'll second it for discussion.
Okay.
Thanks. I mean, if everyone wants to take the week to read through it and come up with thoughts or concerns, I'd be happy to postpone this until next week's Ways and Means Committee meeting, if that's the will of the committee.
Okay, Legislator Bartels.
Well, can we first have a conversation about it? I think the postponement for the week would be good, but maybe Legislator Ronk, if you could tell us a little bit about it. And before you do, if I could just make one constructive criticism, I think the title calling them non-county organizations is very confusing. For a while, I thought it meant non-Ulster County organizations. I thought it was talking about any contract without a county, and then with the resolve. So I don't know what language we want to change it to. But if you could talk a little bit about the.
Well, I mean, yeah, Trace, if you've got a suggestion on language, I'm perfectly fine with that. These organizations have been called everything from legislative programs to contract agencies. I mean, there's a lot of vernacular that a lot of people use for them. So if you'd like to, choose one that you like the best, far be it from me. What this comes from is, again, to me, this is a start, and if folks have, constructive ideas on how they'd like it structured, I'm absolutely fine. I can't speak for Laura, my co-sponsor on it, but what this comes from is every year there seems to be no rhyme or reason, and we're dealing with it right now in legislative programs and ways and means with the ones that we appropriated for last year. There's no rhyme or reason to which organizations are brought forward, except that some legislators bring more organizations forward than others. And from time to time, I've felt like maybe I'm a bad legislator because I'm not asking for money for the Loaves and Fishes Food Pantry, which covers my town, or for any of the other deserving organizations that operate in the hamlet of Walkill or in the town of Shongum. But then you had legislators, I'll give an example, Legislator Carl Belfilio used to bring two or three of these a year, including the last time he brought them, he actually brought one to buy Christmas presents for people. So this, my goal here, and I think Laura's goal, without wanting to speak for her, is to provide a in writing process on how we're going to fund these organizations, including deadlines, because usually these things come up at the very last minute, and then we're forced to decide, oh, well, this organization, you know, People's Place, provides food for people, you know, so how can we vote against that? Or, you know, any of a host of other, you know, worthwhile organizations. So, you know, that's the reasoning behind putting it in. I think that this is a good time to have the conversation heading into the budget cycle. If you want to play with the date, if you want to play with the terms, if you want to, you know, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Chairman Donaldson?
I'd like to read through it closely. I don't think there's really a hurry at getting this done at this point, because the contract agencies, or whatever you want to refer to them, will not be putting in any requests until quite some time from now. It's not done until, you know, September or whatever. So I think we should try to really get this right rather than rushing it. I mean, I understand where Legislator Ronk is coming from. On the other hand, a lot of these have been there for a long time. I mean, we know how we fund the arts and the libraries. We've worked a negotiations with them and come up with methods that, benefited the most people and, you know, got the most bang for the buck. So, I don't want to see that being hurt in any way. But I also think, I agree, there should be questions asked, and we need to really make sure that this is done in a way that, doesn't shut certain ones out or give advantage to others. I think we need to consider each and every request. Now, I know recently there's been more that has been thrown in. For the longest time, it was just basically almost the same ones every year, in one way or form. But recently we've thrown in the Maritime Museum, the canal, things of that nature that got thrown in, this last year. So, I agree that we have to have something, but I really would like to take our time with this. We have time, and I don't think we need to rush it for this session.
Legislator Haynes?
Oh yeah, I would just want to commend the sponsor for this. Having spent a couple of years on legislative programs, I have seen this kind of get a little bit out of control, but with everything that Dave said, I agree with. Also, there are certain programs that we've been funding. We need to continue to figure out a way to fund them, but moving forward, we need to put in a system of checks and controls for some of these other other people that have come forward for requests. So I commend the sponsor for this, and I think it's something that's got to be worked on moving forward.
Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, I too am grateful that it's on the table, that we're talking about it. I think it might take more than a week, but I think we should be actively working on getting this into a format that we can agree upon, because for so long we haven't really had an agreed upon format. And I mean, I agree with Ken too. I've been in the legislature a long time, and I've never brought forward a program. But it feels a little overwhelming at the last minute to have all these different programs being thrown in the mix. And one thought that I just want to put out there as we're thinking about it is, we might want to change our schedule for these so that they come in much earlier, so that they can be a part of the budget conversation with the executive once we're through analyzing them. You know, when an executive and legislative branch are working well together, it would make sense that if we vetted some programs and we believe they're important enough, they should be in the budget from the time we get the budget. So that might be something we can talk about as well, in terms of the timeline of when this is coming in versus at the 11th hour during the budget cycle itself.
Legislator Petit.
Hi, thank you, Chairwoman. To what Legislator Bartels just mentioned, this is exactly one of the ways to make it much simpler. And so we have time for the planning. I think more than anything, and it's not to prohibit anybody from coming in and putting in a proposal or asking for funding. I think, initially it was a comment that legislators had made last year during the budget process that, you know, well, gee, we have the same folks coming to us at the last minute asking for money. They haven't come to the committee over the last year. We haven't seen any reports. And I'm feeling that this will standardize the reporting and the expectations. We've already, or through the financial analysis, we have a standardized form to submit an application for funding, but probably to have a budgetary and a work plan form just so they can summarize what they're doing and keep reporting to us so we make sure we're getting the deliverables is very important.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. Just to Legislator Bartels' point, I think Legislator Petit just hit it on the nail on the head. You know, this would move the deadline for these applications up to July 15th. So it would significantly put it right dead center of the executive's budget process, which was my goal here.
Can I ask the finance people, what is the deadline right now for those when the contract agencies put them in?
Whenever the committee wants.
Sometimes on the day of the meeting.
It typically doesn't happen until August or September, but we get a lot. I would set a deadline and I would get a lot of late applicants.
Mark, you wanted to... Deputy Ryder.
Yeah, if I could just ask, and maybe you all could ask Legislative Council to take a look, and I've asked the county attorney to just take a brief look. I just have one concern, and it can be easily solved, and that's just to clarify that we are talking about legislative programs. You all are the appropriating body, so in the first resolved where it says that any non-county organization performs services provided directly by the Ulster County Legislature, you are the appropriating body, so you are providing funds for all contracts. I just wouldn't want to get, if we could just have a little bit of clarity added somewhere.
I mean, just if I could say one thing on that, I mean, you know, this was drafted by minority counsel. However, I would be happy to have him look back through that and work with Clint and Chris on, you know, a best way to go there. But I would, you know, at this time, like to make a motion we postpone this until the next meeting at least, because we have a public hearing to get to.
I'll second that. Legislator Ron, can you just let us know the best way to get you our comments? Or
my email address is kenronkjr@gmail.com.
Just free for all, just send you all our suggestions and comments, and you'll pull it together.
Unless you've got a better idea, I mean.
We'll make sure you get the appropriate email, Eve. All in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. What time is the public hearing?
6:10.
10 minutes ago, or three minutes ago, I guess.
3 minutes ago?
Yes.
Okay, so we never really got to the discussion on 2020 budget. I apologize, March. I asked you specifically to come for that, and we're running out of time. I did ask...
Do you want to adjourn and come back? I mean, do you want to postpone the meeting or hold the meeting and come back?
Yeah, it's only going to take us, 5 minutes for the public hearing. Do we know? Do we have
folks?
Excuse me?
I said that's presumptuous, but yeah.
I was just going to ask if we know how many people signed up.
Perhaps we should go. We should all get out of here and go into the public hearing.
Let's close out of this and go to the public hearing.
But are we coming back to this?
Are we coming back to have the conversation around the budget?
Lynn, I will make myself available at any time that's useful for you guys. I have a 6:45 meeting, but if I need to move that, I'll do my best to do so.
We could always do this next week. We have Ways and Means starting at 5 o'clock next week anyway.
Yeah, and just a reminder, we have caucus scheduled for 6:30.
All right, so for 6:30?
Yes.
All right, so why don't we push this off, see what we can do next week. I apologize, March. We'll have hopefully more of a dialogue around this. And so I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Thank you.
Aye.